It's now time for a very tactical dungeon edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into your friends and which games to just slap them in the head and drive on by. Probably not drive. You'd probably be running in that instance. I am Corey. I am joined by the man that likes Persona. And I don't understand any of you people. Basher.
This makes me wish I was talking about Darkest Dungeon now.
Darkest Dungeon. I like Darkest Dungeon.
One of the best games I've ever played. Sequel's out on Steam, but not Game Pass.
I think it's Epic Store only, isn't it? We are here. We're going to be doing a dual episode for this one and the next one to close out the year. Basher has been playing the newest Persona 5 Tactica, and we talked about it last episode, and I got curious enough that I've played Dungeons 4. I've not played Dungeons 1, 2, or 3.
No so, one has.
You know. So, you know, the lore, probably not completely there. And I'm sorry for you Dungeons fans out there. But we're going to talk about that. So should we start with Persona or should we start with Dungeons?
People know what Persona is. So like, what the heck is Dungeons?
Did you know that you can let us know what you want us to talk about? See how I did that? 574-651-9256. Just let us know, like what you like, what you don't like. We have a voicemail that Basher has not heard. And we will be, I'm going to bait you a little bit. This is the best voicemail we've ever gotten. And we're going to get Basher's response in real time at the end of this episode. I bet you can't wait. Dungeons 4, here are the details for this game. This is developed by Real Forge Studios, published by Calypso Media. It's available on PC as well as Xbox Series X and S. I can't find anything on if it's on Xbox One. Interesting. I don't think it is. So I can only comment on the PC version. I cannot comment on the controllers, stuff like that. But it does have online co-op, and it does have Xbox Live cloud saves. The Absolute Evil and its trusted Koff servant, the Dark Elf Thalia, returns in Dungeons 4 after the events of its fabulous predecessor to bring about the triumph over the forces of good once more. Build a cozy and comfortable dungeon to suit your creatures' needs and rule over them. Then send them out into the overworld to kindly remind the good people living in there that the Absolute Evil rules over their lands. Gather your evilness into new and dynamic ways and unleash it upon the lush green forests and plains of the overworld to turn them over to the dark side. But make sure that your dungeon is well secured and traps are defended by your creatures, for those pesky overworlders won't just twiddle their thumbs while you turn their land into Absolute Evil's most pleasurable holiday paradise. Dungeons 4. I'm going to talk about it. Hey, Basher.
What's up?
What if I told you you could play a tower defense style game while also playing a sort of RTS game while also playing a MOBA?
Yeah, I'm out.
So that's essentially from what my understanding is. That's what the Dungeons franchise is. So it was interesting to me because I've played all of those things. I like RTS games. I like MOBA games. I am bad at MOBA games. I am okay at RTS games. And there's a little bit of tower defense in here, a little tiny bit, but it still is more RTS. But it's more RTS and MOBA sort of combined. Now, you don't really play them at the same time. You do, but you don't. And what I mean by that is you start the game or each rendition or each level, each skirmish, whatever you want to call it, as you start building your army, whatever you want to call it. So it's more RTS in that point of you're building up your bases and you have to get gold and you have to do that by you're basically an overlord, almost like a dungeon keeper. And you've got goblins and you have to control them to get your gold. And then you've got to build barracks for your soldiers. And then, you know, you have certain soldier counts. It's got that RTS, everything you know about an RTS in it. There's different bases, but it's a lot more confined. There's not bases upon bases upon bases. It's more about the collective resources that you can get of, I need to build a lot more barracks. I need to build a lot more XYZ so I can have just more stuff. And then there's literally a point to the game to where in every match to where you've got like an underground and then you've got an above ground and overworld sort of thing. And when you get to the overworld, it's not quite a MOBA in terms of like you're not picking a main basically, and you're not like playing with other people, but it's the layouts of the land are far more MOBA-ish of where you've got towers that you have to take over and you've got certain enemies that show up that are kind of more MOBA-ish. They've got certain powers, etc., and stuff like that. And that is kind of what Dungeons is. And it's sort of wrapped around this story as well of a very over the top and very on the nose, like evil fighting evil kind of thing. And it's not taken seriously at all. It's very cartoonish, and it's the best way I can describe it is it kind of feels like Minions tone, if that makes sense. Like,
so do you have units that you control?
Yes. So you have your typical heavies. You've got archers, you've got more melee based people, you've got magic based people, you've got medics. And so you do need to sort of, I don't want to say hedge your bets, but plan accordingly. Like, you got to make sure you got enough medics. You got it. You know, you've got to get your mages. So you can kind of mid max certain things, and you can do different squads too. Like, you can have squad one be all your mages and squad two be all your XYZ, or you can even do a mix and match with it. It's got all that stuff in it. But it is not super, it's not StarCraft where there's different races and stuff like that to where you're being like, okay, if I'm playing Zerg, I got to play XYZ, or I need to get to this unit to have this unit. There's not a lot of that. There's still upgrades and stuff every match. You still have to sort of start in one area, and by the end, you've got to level up to get to the end area to get the better units. But you're talking about 5 or 6 unit types total, and a lot of it is that mid-maxing of what unit types you need.
So give me a rundown of like a single gameplay loop. You know, so like you build your base first, or
you always start with your base building because that's how you build your army. But then in between that is at any time after you start building your base, and once you go out into the overworld, it seems like that's what sort of triggers everything. They can now come into your base basically, and you have sort of like a main crystal as you do in like MOBAs. Of course, and if they destroy the big crystal, then you're done for. That's like your power source, whatever you want to call it. But you can set traps up, and that's where the sort of tower defense stuff comes in. And so every level has its own area, and you sort of craft your own area underground of like certain tunnels and stuff like that. And you put your traps in the tunnels, and that's what stops them from getting to you. But if they get through and you don't have enough units down there, like, they could take you out kind of thing. So you have this sort of two things going on. You need to protect yourself, but you also do need to get out in that overworld and go. And so really, like, where it really meshes itself in between the two is that they literally are two separate areas. Like, you have to go to the outworld area, you go through a teleporter, and so you at any time you can go in between both worlds. So it tries to separate itself by being like, this is a hardcore RTS, but once you get out in the world, it's not really a hardcore RTS anymore. It's just mid-maxing your units and making sure that you are putting your units in the right spot so that they can do the most damage. But you will go through units. It's not a situation where you can just roll over the competition. They'll take you out. You got to build more units, and it does have that RTS loop in it. But it's, I don't want to call it a casual RTS because it's really not, but it's more like a casual MOBA with RTS elements. And it's, I get it. Like, it's a fun little game. I think the humor could be really, I think it could rub people really wrong. If you watch the Minions and you just like eye roll and you just like want to like punch a wall, this isn't
some
for
people
you.
People hate like, the Minions. Some people actually like genuinely love them. So I don't understand that weird adult hate and love for these kids, for child-like things. But from what I've seen and heard, it seems like the humor is just absolutely fine. Like, it's just like cutesy little, like hell if it was done by Disney.
That's a great way to describe it. And it's strange because I played it, and I'm not mad that I played it, but like when Dungeon 5 comes out, I'm okay. Like, I'm not jumping to play more dungeons on it. Like, for me, it's, I don't want to call it like, again, it's not baby's first RTS. It's nothing like that. It's truly a blending of both of these genres, and it's a light version of both of those genres. And I think it could be used as a stepping stone into either one of them, honestly. But because of that, like, it's not super difficult. It's not a really difficult game. It's a solid game that has good mechanics. Like, nothing is underbaked. It's all well thought out, but you're never going to get that, like, crazy match. Like, I've had matches of StarCraft where it's like, you know, you're playing for 2.5-3 hours and it's just like you barely get by or you barely lose kind of thing. I never got that from this. And the other thing is it does have co-op. I didn't get a chance to test it out.
You will not.
I don't think I could convince you in this one.
Ashley would play this. This seems like if after getting the hang of it, I probably would jump into a online co-op game, depending on like
that's
just how kind of fun, like, well, obviously like how fun it is, but how fun the base building and unit handling is, because there's a lot of these games out here that do this and this becomes more work than fun. Like, as long as this is still more enjoyable than sort of like crossing things off a list to do, like a series of tasks, I think I'm in.
Yeah, that's where it's tough, because that's where like the what do you want to call it, like high level gameplay of RTS has come in, and even MOBAs, and that's, I would say that's where it loses me. But that's also where the loop isn't totally for me, because you spend every RTS match, you spend every match of StarCraft or Smite, your first 20 minutes is the same thing, right? Got to get the resources. I got to build 1, 2, 3, 4 in this order to get this unit. And then once you have all of that, the end game begins, the real war begins. This doesn't really have, like, it has that, but it's far more casual. So when you say, like, I need to get the hang of it, like, you will get it by the end of the first game.
Okay, cool.
Like, because of the way that the unit screen, when you pull up the unit screen, it's like a full screen. Almost, like, it's not made for a tablet, but you can see how it does that. Because there's literally only, like, 3 tiers of everything, and you click on it, and it's not easy, but it is not going for like, yo, you're gonna have 15 different XYZ so that way you can summon this one thing, and then you're gonna have this to upgrade this, and then if you didn't to get this, you have to upgrade this, but you have to have 2 of these units here. It's none of that. It is far more straightforward. So for that reason, it's really fun, because it wasn't hard to play. It was very easy to play. Like, I sat down with it, and that's probably why I got much farther than I anticipated, because it was just easy to pick up and play and I didn't have any real issues with it. But if I'm being honest, like, it also made me be like, man, maybe I should fire up some StarCraft. You know? Like, man, I could go for some Carrier Has Arrived right now. Like, that's, I could really go for that. So for that reason, like I said, it's totally fine. I would even say it's better than fine. It's a good game, but it's not super in depth, and that's okay. Sometimes we don't need that. Sometimes you don't need that, you know, super deep experience. Not everybody wants to play Street Fighter to where you're counting the frames and the input delays and stuff like that. So,
yeah, this is
Dungeons 4. This pretty good.
This is making me want to play Thronefall some more. Shout out to a game that I think that is still in early access. Tower Defense.
You keep talking about this, and I still have no
idea
what it is.
I'm a fan of Thronefall. If you see it on your Steam list, give it a shot.
It's on sale. It's on sale for $6.
Yeah, it's worth $6.
It's normal priced at
$7. Whoa! That's a huge deal, guys. You're losing if you don't buy it.
Why does it say there is only 5 playable levels, Basher?
Because I think it's still in early access. Is it not? I don't know.
Wait, do you have this on Steam?
Yes.
Okay, so we need to read after this episode. We're going back on Steam, and you're adding me back because I want to check this out. And I need to know if I need to spend $6.
Is it?
Because I can't.
Isn't it in early access?
Yes.
Yeah. So it makes sense to not be full yet.
All right. Well, we'll see, because I need to check out this.
Yeah,
this.
You have to really think about spending this $6. You're right.
I do.
Before you drop this $6, you want to make sure just $6 worth.
Yeah. Exactly. So yes, Dungeons 4, play it. It's fun. It's not going to blow your mind, but if I think there's a lot, like, in a way, this is a perfect Game Pass game, because I think it could be, first off, the name sucks. Like that I think that's my biggest problem with it is that it doesn't really tell you what it is. And it's hard to, like, watching the trailers, it sells what it is, but it doesn't sell it in the right way of just like, look, this is not, you can play this game. Like, you don't, if you load up an episode, a match of StarCraft, you could get lost and get Zerg rushed and just be like, I'm out. You know, like, I don't know. I have no idea what happened. This is dumb. I'm out. That won't happen in this game. And that's a good thing. But it does lack that Zerg rush, if that makes sense. So, but all right, that is Dungeons 4. Let's pivot over to Persona 5 Tactica. For some odd reason, you people like this Persona thing. And this isn't even a real Persona, from what I understand. This is like a fake Persona. This is like the big-headed version. We're going to pretend we're XCOM. Why not just play Mario plus Rabbids?
It's called Chibi design, sir.
Chibi, sorry. Sorry. Right. Tell me about the Chibi version of Persona.
Persona Chibi? Yeah, all day. So this takes place in specifically the Persona 5 universe, because they're all so drastically different. It takes place during the events of Persona 5, actually, because when I first started, I thought it was taking place after. Right before the ending, if you will. But I know this is supposed to be a otherworldly event that takes place during your events of Persona 5. And this is, as it says in the title there, a tactics game. Or Tactica game? I don't know why they call it Tactica. But this is Persona 5 Tactics. So the issue I have with it, starting at the top, is it is essentially your standard turn-based tactics RPG. Now, what I was hoping for was more of a twist on this genre, because Mario and Rain Man did it pretty well, I think. They added this nice little cool spin on it, whereas Persona 5 Tactica is a very solid tactics game that is more Persona than it is tactics. So if you're a big fan of Persona, which most people in the world are, because it's Persona, why wouldn't you be? There's a lot of that. The style is still there, even in its chibi version. Like, there's just that over-the-top Persona anime vibe happening. The music still bangs. There's all that Persona stuff is here in spades. I just kind of wanted more compelling tactics gameplay as well.
So go back a little bit. And I'm saying this with all seriousness of as a person who does not understand Persona at all.
You have not played any of them yet, right?
Correct. Okay. I played the fighting one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Arena or something like that. Yeah. And that was just out of, I don't want to say like a joke. That's not what I want to say. Like, if somebody had it.
They have a Dynasty Warriors spinoff too. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think Chris had that. I think he was trying to get me to play it. I know you said when this takes place, but it's like, since each game is its own lore,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
It's like Final Fantasy. And what is it about the lore of Persona 5 that people like so much?
So that's a good, so to each their own, right? So I think what this is, because I'm assuming you're asking that question because this has gotten so far the most spinoffs.
Correct. Well, and not only that, it's to me, it's Is it Tactica because it makes sense for the characters, or is it Tactica because they just wanted to do a spinoff?
Because they wanted to do a spinoff. If that and, okay. And yeah,
so that makes it far less interesting. No, to me.
Fair enough. Because to answer the first part of that question, Persona 5, I don't think is leagues above lore wise Persona 3 or 4. I personally like 3 a little more, but Persona 5 is, they're all on the level. It's just a matter of which characters you like more. So the reason Persona 5, I think, is getting all this extra spinoffs is simply because it's the latest one and it's the most in the zeitgeist.
Okay.
And to answer the second part of that question, the Persona 5 characters don't lend themselves more to a tactics-based game more than any other Persona that's come out in the series. I would have actually preferred this be so far out of the Persona mainline series that you had multiple characters from multiple Persona games in it, as opposed to this just being about the Phantom Thieves. The Phantom Thieves are here. They're the same over-the-top characters that you love from the first one. Voice actors return. The setting, the themes of it all return. It's still really good. The gameplay, that's where I was hoping for more of that Persona influence to come about, because it's really, if you ever played a tactics RPG, this is essentially the basics of it. Like it doesn't do anything super over the top or even all that extra interesting. What I liked about it is they brought back the critical hits that is so familiar in the Persona 5 series. So like, historically speaking, if you get a critical hit, you get a one more turn. That means you get to go one more time. If you down all the enemies, then you get like an all-out attack. That brings that is brought into this game in a way where if you down one character with one more hit, the easiest way to do that is hit a character that is out of cover. You now take your three or four party members, and then you connect a little triangle around that area, and now you have an all-out attack on all of the enemies within that area. It's a cool addition to the regular tactics kind of gameplay. It adds something cool in the sense that each encounter, you're trying to figure out how to down an enemy, get a one more hit, get multiple one more hits, because you can get as many one more hits as you want, essentially. As long as it's an enemy to get a critical hit on, you can keep one more hitting. So you can keep getting that one more extra turn. You can keep moving extra spaces. You can keep moving characters around. So that's the really cool thing about the gameplay in this, is it emphasizes the idea of beating something, being an encounter super efficiently, like 2-3 turns maximums. So that's where it really kind of gets me. That's where I really kind of get the juices flowing. But when that breaks down and you just have to play like a straight on tactics game, there's not a lot there, sadly. It's not like a Disgaea where there's all these cool team up moves when you're next to certain people. Once you get rid of a couple of twists here and there, it doesn't give enough to warrant this being a thing to me, if that makes sense.
So do you like it?
I like it, but I don't know if I like it because I like Persona 5, though.
Right.
You know, like to be completely honest with you, if I played this game and it wasn't called Persona 5 Tactica, I would probably think it's pretty neat and keep about my day, but I'm going to finish it because I think it because it's Persona 5. You know, it's more of what I'm used to, it's more of what I've liked. And I don't say that in a bad way, because on this show we talked a lot about the Nintendo fun factor, that the Nintendo polish and just certain genre, certain companies and what they bring to a game series. I played a little more Starfield than I wanted to because I was waiting for that quote unquote Bethesda magic. Persona 5 Tactica has the Persona magic to it. It has the over the top characters that you know and love. It has the scenery, the colors, the themes that you know and love. And I think that does go towards something positive. I'm just as a gameplay first person, like I really wanted more meat on the bones when it comes to the actual gameplay itself.
Which is funny is I try not to taint my own opinions of stuff by reading what other people thought, but I knew I wasn't going to play this. So like, I don't think you're alone in that one. It seems like a lot of people are saying like, I want to like this more than I do. Like, I think it is because of that sort of, it's Mega Man X7. Stay with me. Of why is this a 3D action platformer? That's not what this does good. However, it's got Zero.
Right. Zero's in it. I'm going to play all the way through. Like, it's not a question.
And it seems like it's probably not that extravagantly, you know, bad, because X7 is a terrible video game, but.
Yeah. No, because Tactica by itself is a decent little game. Persona 5 makes it good, and that says something about the Persona brand name, the Persona and Persona 5 itself. The disappointment comes in, like I said, like I wanted some more meat on the bones when it comes to the tactics gameplay of things, and especially when you look at the fact that I forgot the name, is it called Royale? The
Persona 5 Royale.
Is that the fighting game or the Dynasty Warriors one? I forget the Dynasty Warriors one.
No, Royale was like the expansion to 5 or whatever. I think Arena was the fighting game one, and Persona 5.
I can't remember the name of that one.
Is it called Strikers?
No. Was it Strikers?
Persona 5 Strikers. Yes, Persona 5
Strikers.
That
seems so wrong to me. But that's actually legitimate. Like they took the Dynasty Warriors formula and mended the Persona series into it in a really cool way. Like it worked from the ground up.
Hyrule Warriors.
Same,
did it too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that first Hyrule Warriors was actually like surprisingly that had Nintendo's charm in it in a way I just did not expect.
Yeah, I played that. I played too much of that. I played too much of
that adventure mode. Oh, I want to play that now. Adventure mode was so good.
I absolutely would. That and the Dragon Quest one. Like for some reason that Mushu thing works when it's not Dynasty Warriors. When someone else is property.
Well, it's better. It's characters you actually know versus Cow.
We all know Lu Bu. All right.
You're right. That's Lu Bu's in his own
exactly.
tier.
But yeah, like that. So that lended to the sort of letdown I was feeling as I worked through Persona 5 Tactica, because I'm like, why isn't there more Persona 5 nonsense in the gameplay? Because you compare it to something like Disgaea, where it's just super wacky. You like it's just over the top. You can change all the characters in that game. You can reskin it completely, but you know by watching it, well, that's definitely a Disgaea game. Whereas this does not feel like this is definitely a Persona game, because it's just the tactics game. The tactics part is kind of basic. oppose the all out triple threat attack aside, I think one of the few extra things they added is the traversaling aspect. So if you're on another level and you knock an enemy off that level onto the top of one of your allies, you get an automatic one more, which is a nice little combo move. But I needed more of that. Like, there should be way more of that. There should be way more things in the Persona series that make an addition to the gameplay as opposed to just the Persona coat of paint on here. Which, again, it does add points, but it adds points in a way where I'm just like I'm not comfortable with. I'm just like, this. Am I playing this because I like it, right, or am I playing because I like Persona 5?
Yeah, it sounds kind of like the issues we had with Gears Tactics. Like, it works, and it works better than you probably think it should. But at the same time, like, you were just playing like a weird version of Gears of War, if that makes sense. Like, you weren't really playing like a tactical game. That kind of sounds like what you're saying, yeah, but maybe not at the same time.
It definitely is, but to that point, I would say this does it better because at its core, it's still a good tactics game. My letdown came from the fact that it's not in his bone, like Personas from the ground up. It just adds a Persona thing here and there in terms of the gameplay, but the narrative, the themes, the music, all of that's there Persona wise, and that gives it some points as well. So, like, it's a game you can enjoy, and as a Persona fan, you enjoy it more than other people would.
So, quick answer. If you've never played Persona 5, should you even like contemplate this?
If you never played Persona 5, this is worth playing still, because it is still over. You may not know who these characters are, but the aesthetic of Persona, I think the general Persona aesthetic transcends either any specific main entry to the Persona series. So if you like a tactics game, if you want to play a tactics game, again, the Persona 5 aesthetic will help your enjoyment of this because it's so kind of over-the-top, wacky, fun nonsense.
Interesting. I thought for sure you were going to say no, but I don't know. Persona is one of those things to where I actually think I would enjoy it for the most part, but I found myself when it comes to, I would say, serious JRPGs, but like, you know, JRPGs in general, it's just, I like the battle systems, but like, man, I don't want to do the high school stuff. Like, I just want to I want to see a Stars. I want to Chained Echoes. Like, I want to get in and just let's go.
Right, I agree.
Let's go. No, yeah. So
that's not in here by the
Persona
way.
Persona seems like in terms of
the high school, like the, not the romance thing, but the relationship.
I don't say
relationship
playing,
points,
yeah,
and stuff. Like, that's not in this game, which is surprising.
Interesting. Okay, but that's the stuff that's why I don't play Persona. And I know that's probably a very general, but opinion of it. And I'm sure that it's like, I don't think they're all like that, right? Like Persona 4 supposedly has less of that.
Some have less, but they're all. Every single Persona game is all about the relationships because that's how you get your persona. That's how you unlock the persona. It's all ingrained in it. Like each Persona game is not that much different from the last one.
Interesting. So who knows? Maybe one day I'll play it. But when it comes to Game Pass or Pass, what is your take?
I'm going to say pass it on to a friend. It is a good, in his bones, tactics RPG. You're not going to be disappointed on that level. I think the major disappointment will come from people who actually know Persona and wanted more of it inside the gameplay itself. Whereas people who don't know Persona this is a decent introduction to the characters, to the world.
Well, there you go. Have we ever done a double pass on a dual episode? I don't know that we have. I feel like we haven't. We haven't done a crazy amount of these, but
that's a good question. Probably not since the since probably like the first one, probably like the
right. Interesting. There you go. When it comes to Dungeons 4 as well as Persona 5 Tactica, play them, pass it on, have a grand old time with some friends, enjoy your high school dungeon drama. I can't make those two work together. I just can't. When it comes to the future of this show, we're first going to talk about, I am now going to send Basher via Discord the best voicemail we've ever gotten. And I will upload it here as well in the show so you can hear what he is hearing. But I want to hear his reaction in real time.
All right, shut up and let me listen to it. Jeez. All this talking. Can I play right in Discord? Will Discord allow that?
Yep.
What?
Yep. You can just hit play.
Yeah, guys. This is the future, guys.
The future is now.
I'm hitting play in 3, 2, 1.
Call it back. Hello. Hello. Hello? Hello?
All right. That was something.
What happened? The thing is, should we call them back? They told us to call them back.
What? Okay.
Like, first off, how did you... This is from a 930 area code A. So how did you mess up so hard that you, like... That came through and I just... The Google Voice thing does, like, a... Oh, interesting. Okay, I didn't know this. So 930 is actually not too far.
No.
I thought for
That's your state.
With it
that's,
being
this is your people. Yeah. All right.
This
was a Massachusettsian. All right. We would not be that confused.
It was still. How do you mess it up? But they do like a transcription basically to give you an idea of what's in the message, and all it said was call me back. I was like, this is very ominous. I don't know who this is, but why do they want me to call them back? That's the exact opposite of what we do for this voicemail line. I don't want to call you back ever. So, but yeah, there you go. That's
maybe it's the guy finally checked us down for that bad review.
Maybe, and he wants us to
just call him back.
To discuss this travesty that we gave onto the world.
It didn't sound like a very old person either. Like
right.
Like some
but also it's not like they hung up like three times. Like they're like, call me back.
Hello?
And like they picked up the phone. Like, yeah, like as if they were confused about
how just phones work at this point.
Right. How phones work. I have no idea why. I just thought that was the funniest thing when I first heard that. And I was like, I have so many questions and none of them will ever be answered. Maybe for an end of the year, last thing we'll do for the year, we will call this person back and just to see, like, look, I got to know, who are you?
I hope they don't pick up so I can leave a voicemail.
Right. But you know they're going to. You know they're going to. Like, and then like it's going to be really awkward because it's be like, hey, we're calling you back. And I'm like, what?
Who? You said to call you back. I'm doing exactly what you said.
Right. You didn't tell me who you are or anything. I'm doing what you said. So what do you want? 574-651-9256. If you want to leave us a text message or a voicemail, let us know. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. Our next episode will probably be our last one of the year.
Thank God.
We're going to be closing out. Wow.
Enough of doing this.
Last last game-based one before we do our State of Game Pass as well as our Game Pass Game of the Year. We are the definitive source and the definitive place, outlet, whatever, when it comes to Game Pass. So what we say goes, and we will be ranking the best game of the year. So that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with some games.
Good day, sirs.
And I didn't tell him to leave. Why did Craig leave?